Good morning,
Good morning.
everyone. Hope everyone's having a good day so far. We're continuing our John's travels after the ascension of Jesus. And we're going to start heading out from Jerusalem. And I will start with a word of prayer. Yeah, but before you see this map here, Jerusalem's down here at the bottom. And he's going to be heading to Samaria with Peter in this next phase. We're also going to do a little bit of a background of what we do know, a little bit about what John's future is this period. There's not a lot in the scriptures after this next chapter mentioned. So we'll start with a word of prayer. Yeah, Heavenly Father, so much for this time, looking at word and to look for its deeper meaning, and you can help me to discern what you would like me to portray. You help me to be helpful in helping others to learn more about you, and also to help myself. And I praise you and I thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, the last bit I got in Acts for where John is involved has to do with Acts 8:14. And we'll go through that, and then we'll just kind of look a little bit at some other verses about John and some of the things that may have. Some of it is a little bit of my church history, so realize that it's not coming to out of the Bible, but we'll start here. And so we have in Acts 8:14, the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's kind of an interesting time, too, that there was quite a few people that had seen, I think, the ministry of John the Baptist, but didn't really know, had left to go to other places like Samaria and other places, and really didn't know much about the ministry of Jesus. So, of what they did learn, now we know that Jesus did go to Samaria during his earthly ministry, and so it's a little hard to, but the other thing to realize too is that at this period of time the Holy Spirit hadn't been received into the area until Acts 2, where after Jesus' ascension the Holy Spirit came to the disciples. So at this point there's still a lot of people that are kind of like in limbo, I guess you would say. That's the only way I can think of putting it. That they knew of Jesus, they knew a lot of his teachings, but that the death, burial, and resurrection hadn't happened yet. And so they didn't know about it, so they didn't know really how to ask for repentance and salvation. So I think that's why this note is here. Verse 17, then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. It was that quick and that easy. And it's that quick and easy for us. And when Simon, now this Simon is not Simon Peter, or this is just another Simon that lived in Samaria, and he saw this act, and he was amazed. And first thing he thought of was prophet. So let's read here in verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now, this is this can be considered ignorance, because Peter's going to explain it to him here. So let's not condemn him quite yet. He was really curious about it, and that's good. But when Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Amen to that. It is a gift. There's nothing we can do to receive it. It's purely a gift. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for the heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. But obviously he's being influenced by that, the other side of the fence here, same as in his, or just, just the nature of sin. Then answered Simon, said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. So at least he realizes already, okay, I'm wrong. Yeah, I'll admit that. What can I do about it? And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So, of course, Peter went and John went and told them the truth and what and how he should act and how he should be looking to the Lord for repentance. It sounds like he got it. So at this point, this is the last story in Acts. There's one more little reference. And I forget to put it in here. Yeah, it's over in Acts 12, 12. It's the only other time John is mentioned in Acts. I'll get to that in a second because it has to do with, it's just a note. Now, first I want to go to Galatians. And Paul, I think I had said yesterday, I never knew if Paul and John ever really met, but I think they did because in Galatians, which was written by Paul, Paul mentions them. And also gives us a little hint as to some of the things that Jesus, I mean that John did after this period of time. In Galatians 2:9, Paul is writing, and when James, which is another way of saying Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived, pillars, this would be the, in other words, pillars in this respect would be well-known, established apostles in the Jerusalem area. This particular reference is about Paul and when he was down in Jerusalem and had seen the apostles, continuing here in verse 9, perceived the grace that was given unto me, that gave to me and Barabbas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. So this is that council in Jerusalem where Paul had gone down to discuss the problem he was having with the fact that he was going to the Gentiles. And there was some Pharisees that were saying, well, if they're going to be, it was kind of an interesting scenario here because most of the first believers were Jews. But when the Gentiles started to become saved, they were thinking that, well, they got to become like Jews and do all the things Jews do. And that has to do with circumcision, following all the laws, so Paul realized that, at least what he had been shown by Jesus, and Paul was very versed on the rules from Moses, that that it was not correct to force the circumcision onto the Gentiles. So he went down to Jerusalem and counseled with the other apostles. And so this is a little bit him reflecting back on that period when he would... when he was given the right hand of fellowship from the apostles down in Jerusalem. And at that point, Paul was going to go to the uncircumcised, that's another term for Gentiles, and then and that the apostles were going to concentrate on the circumcision, the people, the Jews. And if you want to look that story up, it's in Acts 15, I think it is. Yeah, we got a few minutes. I can run over there real quick and I got the reference here. I think it was 15. See if I can find it real quick. Yeah, here it is. I'll just run through it real quick. I ain't got a whole lot today. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church. This is Paul and of the apostles and elders. And they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up a sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. This is what I was just referencing, that Paul was, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there was disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know that how a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. This is another incident where, if you remember, Peter went up to Caesarea and to the centurion, and that whole incident of the sheep coming down with the unclean animals, and Jesus explained to him that the word was going to be extended to the Gentiles. So this is Peter remembering that and commenting about it. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So you get a general sense. And then down in verse 12, we see, then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barabbas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. So this is Paul. So they quieted down after Peter's little speech. And Paul gave them what was going on with the Gentiles, and even James, this would be the brother of Jesus, piped up and also said, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. And he went on to comment about the same thing, that how God had first did visit the Gentiles to take out them a people name. This is the general counsel, pretty much the whole chapter 15 of Acts. And we just skip down to, so what was decided down here in 19. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which were from among the Gentiles or turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Now, these were the Jewish laws that decided for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So these rules were being taken out and written in the synagogues. So everybody was well aware of the rules the council had come up with. So that pretty much is a story I was just telling. Here again, Paul is reflecting back on Galatians. I'll reread it. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barabbas in the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcised. Only they were that we should remember the poor, the same which I was forward to do. So, this is Peter making Galatians about knowing John. So back to what we were talking about is the fact that I see here that Paul did know John. And I personally, when I was speaking yesterday, had forgotten about that. So I want to correct that. Then the other thing, the only other reference in Acts is in 12:2. And it's not a very fun thing to remember. Because John lost his brother. This is Luke talking about chapter 12 of Acts. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Sad day for John. And that, that's the only other reference we have where John was mentioned in Acts. So at that point, I'm speculating a little bit about a few things I read having to do with some of the historians. Basically wrote during that time period. And so I'll give you a little background. There were some church fathers. One was called Irenaeus. He lived from, this is all AD, 130 AD to 200 AD. And he was a disciple of Polycarp. And Polycarp lived from AD 70 to 160, who was a disciple of John. Polycarp knew John and spoke to Irenaeus quite often about John. And what was taught and what was written by Irenaeus sometime between 130 and 200 AD, and in something called the Against Heresies, it was mentioned that John penned most of his works, except for Revelation, which was penned in Patmos, in the Ephesus area. So, that's the general area that John ended up going to. And my first guess would be that based on the fact that he had to take care of Mary, so he probably stayed in the Jerusalem area, or he may have taken Mary with him to Ephesus. That's a little unclear because it's, I'll have to look further into that. There's some stuff in Ephesus that has to do with Mary. But just recently there was an archaeological dig near Jerusalem area that found some those box of bones. You see that sometimes the Jews when they bury somebody, and they found one that had the inscription of Mary on it, and they suspect it might have been Jesus' mother's bones in the Jerusalem area. I'll see if I can find that again.
I think I read it in my Bible.
So Mary may have stayed in the Jerusalem area to her death. Figuring she probably died somewhere around, I'd have to look more research into that. I'm not sure what the historians think about that, but figure she was somewhere around 16 years old, 16 or 17 when Jesus was born. And Jesus was born somewhere around, I think anywhere from 2 BC to 2 AD, somewhere in that time frame. So Mary, by the time this period is talking about, this is about because Paul ended up being crucified, beheaded about 68 AD. So, and the other known fact is that 70 AD was the temple was destroyed, and the big incident in the, with the siege in Jerusalem, and all the Jews fled and went up to that mountain there, and ended up dying by the swords, and it was a pretty sad day. So that's when Jerusalem fell in 70 AD. So I'm thinking that, it's right around that time, I'm thinking that, John probably relocated to Ephesus. Now, whether or not Mary was still alive, she would have been, you know, say at 70 AD, she would have been probably about 80 to 85 years old, just a guess. And that, so she might have been still around, and she might have gone up to Ephesus with him. But finding that evidence of bones down in Jerusalem, she may have died before Jerusalem fell, and John at that point went up there. And again, these are all speculations. The only information I could find was that about that John wrote the Gospel of John and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in Ephesus. And that Revelation was written on Patmos. So the other thing I thought is head off from here and start looking into the three epistles of John. And that because of the way they're worded, see a little bit of a hint that he was an elder in the church of Ephesus. And that he most likely spent most of his time there, and that because he was preaching Now try to find out the different rulers of that time frame. Try to narrow these time frames down. But the ruler that sent him to Patmos, I believe it was Nero, but it could have been Domitius, the one that took over Nero. Sorry, Domitius, I think his name is. And that when he died, as John was released from Patmos, went back to Ephesus, and finished his writings. And that's how he got the word of Revelation out. So I've kind of been thinking lately, a reference that I see in Revelations. And I'll just bring it up here real quick. Might have a hint that the John was written based on this this verse right here. And again, this is my speculation completely. It's the first time I've ever thought about it. When I was reading it, I couldn't help but think that possibly John was written in response to Jesus' commandment here in Revelation, where he says, write the things which thou hast seen, past tense, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, a lot of people say that the things he has seen is talking about what he saw from Revelation 1:1 through Revelation 1:18. But I could also say that maybe that has to do with why he wrote the whole Epistle of John, which is, I think, has a lot of hints about the church that you don't see in the other three Gospels. Kind of an interesting outlook. And again, I'm not trying to promote. Just something I've been thinking about lately that kind of got me curious. So I might look into that further and try to see if I can prove it to myself. And so that's all I have for tonight. And I think we'll jump into 1 John starting tomorrow. I mean, that's all I got right now. And for tomorrow, we'll jump back into 1 John. We'll jump into 1 John. And we'll see. And I did find a few pictures to kind of support some of the things I said. Let me show them to you here. Actually, we'll get to these when we get to Ephesus, but I'll just show you a couple of pictures I had from before from Ephesus. This is a stadium in Ephesus. Ephesus was a big area. It was right on the ocean. Paul founded the church here, and so it's a good chance that John kind of took over. I always saw Paul as more of an evangelist, kind of like someone who built churches, but he didn't necessarily, he visited them once in a while. But then others took over. We know Timothy quite a bit, took over in a few churches. Titus is a couple that we know of. But there's definitely indication that John was was paramount in the churches of the eastern Turkey area, which includes Ephesus and all the other ones you see in Revelation. So, and this is a ruins of an area where they believe John is buried. They figure he died somewhere around 100 AD, 98 to 100 AD. Would have put him, figure that when he met Jesus, and that would have been like 32, about 29 AD, that he was probably somewhere in his late teens. He could have been still a teenager or just barely 20. You can see he was the youngest of all of them. So he easily could have lived to 100 AD. Because that would put him born somewhere around, I think, 15 AD. So that would put him in his 80s and 90s when he's up here in Ephesus as death. And this is the actual tomb. And I guess there's inscriptions on it to indicate that it was, John was buried here. This is a view of that area from afar, that church that I'm going to show you here. And this is called the Church of John, St. John, in the Ephesus area. It's an artist rendition. It was built about 500 or 600 AD, but it was built on top of that grave that I just showed you area. So a lot of the things you see around it. I'll have more pictures when we get to actually looking at Ephesus. There's a whole bunch of them. It's a pretty good sized town. So that'll be it for today, and I will close with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time we get to spend in your word. And I really enjoy, Lord, learning about you and just trying to imagine what it was like to be one of your early followers, and that they spread out. And so looking forward to this time that I get to look at the study your word and try to think about what it was like to be these different people like John and Peter and Paul. And Lord, I just give you all the praise and thanks, and that you continue to help us in our daily walk. And as a special note, I just think about Sister Cynthia, and she is doing well, and that Tuck and Molly are doing well, and that she'll be home with us soon. And that looking forward to what you have in store for us today. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, everybody, you have an awesome day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.